Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Joining us now on the Hooters Hot Seat, another undisputed FOS friend of Stink.
Yes.
Mike Pereira.
I know. He's the, like, listen, he created the whole role of having an official explain the rules. Because, you know, number one, none of us who play know the rules. None of the guys playing know the rules. And he's the best in the business. There's no question about it.
Listen, I'm going to cut him off right now before he says any more nice things about me, because I'm actually kind of pissed at him.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Well, because I think he's like... I think he could conceivably cost me my job. I mean, I want to be in the hiring process when we hire analysts at Fox, because he knows the damn rules almost better than I do. So he doesn't need me.
No, that's not true.
He go, oh, come on. You've always been good at the rules. You know that there are certain analysts that take the time to go beyond the excess, the X's and O's, to try to understand officiating, because it's better coming from you than me when you actually know it. And he's fantastic. And he and Dick Stockton this year were terrific. And
well, we've had a great time. I tell you, it is interesting. So one of the things about calling games is everybody tries to get out as soon as the game is over, right? You're on the escape. So, but one of the things that's been really cool is there's a couple of officials that live in the Denver area. And I always happen to be on a plane with them. Even if they're not doing the game I'm doing, we meet somewhere and we seem to be on a plane together. And I have had so many trips where I sit and we go through the film, because here's what I love about the officials, and your guys' job is exceptionally hard, what you have to do and all the different things that you have to see. But I am working with several officials so that they basically understand holding, when is it holding, when is it not holding, defensive holding especially, because I think it's one of the hardest things for an official to really see. And so when you start to understand the combination blocks and understand what we're doing up front, then you can start to understand when defensive linemen and when linebackers, you know, illegally hold guys to keep them from getting to where they're supposed to be going.
And your point is so well taken. I always felt that there was the biggest disconnect that we had in officiating, which... it's not good when you think about it, and it's still there, is that officials, for the most part, didn't play much beyond high school, and so therefore, they don't understand advantage-disadvantage from a coaching standpoint or a playing standpoint. And Matt Millen came to one of our clinics, our officiating clinics one time, and sat with all the umpires and explained to them the interior line play and how offensively, in certain areas, how they create advantages illegally and get away with it. And it made a huge difference. And we have to somehow bring together coaching and officiating so that each understands the other. Because
right.
Coaches don't understand, you know, what the officials are looking at, or let me just say this, like how they interpret the rule. See, there's a rule, but it's also there's interpretations of the rule. Like you say, what is or what isn't. You know, a grab of the jersey is not necessarily holding. And so it's... there is a disconnect there, and I think it gets lost, and officials take a lot of abuse. And I think you know, I told somebody the other day, and it's true, they make mistakes. I mean, they make mistakes. They probably make, I would say, six, seven mistakes a game. You probably wouldn't know that, you know, because you wouldn't know some of the mistakes that are made. Some you see. But the fact is there's 150 plays in a game. And then the fact of that is that each play, unless it's a victory formation kneel down, there's 10 different decisions that have to be made by officials. You got five guys up front blocking. You only got two officials looking at the five. You got press coverage, and is it holding, is it not? Is the formation legal? Is the motion legal? You probably have 10 decisions to make every play. So you have 1,500 decisions, and they make 6-7 mistakes. I mean, in a game that's this fast and this skilled, That's pretty darn good.
Mike Pereira joined us. You probably heard this argument before. Should NFL officials be full-time?
No, I don't think so. I still say no. I mean, if you went and lived in one of their houses, you would probably say, oh, geez, these guys are full-time. He doesn't do anything in his regular job. But he's got to answer to the league for this and this. He's got these rules tests that have to be done. He has these physical things that he has to accomplish. There's so much that they do. And what did they do as full-time? You know, watching a video doesn't make you better. Going to a team's practice doesn't make you better because it's not the true speed. And the same way in training camp. So unless you give me a season that has 80 games, kind of like the NBA, or 160 like baseball, I don't want the guy sitting on his butt at home being considered full-time and just reading the rule book, which he reads all the time anyways. I mean, 130 guys, I promise you, you know, he doesn't have, these 130 guys don't have C.J. Box sitting on their bedstand. They got the NFL rule book that's sitting on their bedstand, and they read it all the time. So, listen, they've been successful in their own right, in their own job for years. And so I think we're fine where we are now, except it did kind of change my thinking a little bit. The 17 referees, the guys with the white hat, I could buy the notion of them being full-time and going to an institute. You don't go home after the game. You go to an officiating institute and you sit together all week long looking at things, the grading process together, so that you take consistent messages back to your crew. I could get that, and you could role play. I mean, we let's admit it. You have guys that make great announcements and guys that make not great announcements, and you could work on that kind of stuff. But everybody, no, I just don't buy into it.
Mike, tell me about how you thought the whole challenge of pass interference went this season, and what tweaks or how will they change that coming up next year?
Well, I think the rule was a disaster, and I think it was a disaster simply because how could you put in a rule that says, here's how we want a pass interference called on the field, but then if it gets into replay, it's going to be a completely different standard. It has to be bigger than what we want called on the field. So you're telling a coach when he calls you on Monday, yeah, it was pass interference and it should have been called, but it wasn't big enough for me to call in replay. Huh? You know, and so to me, it didn't work. It will never work. Under the way it is right now, to me, the only way to make it work and make it more sensible to me is to, first of all, make it only applicable to the last 5 minutes of the game. And then secondly, is one standard. It either is or it isn't. So when you see it, when we play it back and you see it and you say, yeah, that's pass interference, then replay looks at it and says, yep, that's pass interference. It's close, but it's pass interference.
Right.
And so to me, that's the only way to make it successful. I just think it was such a big miss in the championship game. And you know, Sean Payton was on the competition committee,
right.
So he wasn't going to go back to New Orleans with nothing. And I just think that this was typical of like when I was there. We had a tendency to overreact and put a rule change in based on one play that happened.
Yeah.
And Mike Holmgren used to nail me on that. Let's not change the rule over one play. This hasn't happened in 30 years, and now we're going to change a rule.
Right.
And I think I was guilty of it, too.
All right, so if the NFL tends to be overreactionary to these things that happen, is the game over-officiated, and is it over-officiated to the detriment of all the fans that want to enjoy the NFL?
I mean, I don't know what is over-officiated. I mean, it's hard.
Well, I'll give you an example. As a fan, okay, I'm just strictly speaking as a fan, I've now become conditioned too often when there's a touchdown scored, rather than just being able to just celebrate touchdown, everybody is like, hold on. We got to make sure he possessed the ball to the ground, or he got one.
It
takes away some of the spontaneity of enjoying the game.
The question becomes: Are we overusing replay in it? And now I do think we are overusing replay. I mean, what was it, Graham in the Green Bay game, where it looks like he scores a touchdown, and everybody thinks he scores a touchdown, and then they put it in super slow motion, and you can actually see his butt hit, and it looks like the ball's 6 inches short. and then replay gets involved and stops it. Nobody would have said anything if they wouldn't have, you know. Nobody would have stopped it at this precise. And really, I know this is kind of a lousy way to look at it, but it's first and goal at the half-yard line or the six-inch line. Let's play through that kind of stuff and save replay. Save it for the big plays that are missed, that have bigger consequence to it. And I think replay now is involved in judgment, which it never should have been. What is a catch? What is not a catch? Did he have it long enough? That's judgment. And replay, looking at it at a different speed, shouldn't be looking at that. It was all brought in 1999 based on facts. Grounds, planes, lines. Now we're into, did he have it long enough? You know, all of this kind of stuff. So replay, I think, has gotten too involved.
Visit with Mike Pereira. Hey, I have a couple of kids who play youth sports, and I see it in all sports. Finding officials is becoming harder and harder. And you're working with a group that's encouraging people to get into it.
The National Association of Sports Officials, you know, the fact is you think about it, amateur officials in the last 10 years, the average age has gone up. Yep. 10 years in a row. Average age down 54. And then the average number of people signing up to officiate over the last 10 years has gone down 10 years in a row. So there's no longer enough officials to cover high school sports and youth sports. High schools are having to play on Thursdays and Saturdays. And it's not getting any better. And, you know, you look at the survey that NASO did, the number one group that basically discourages officials from sticking with officiating are the parents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are the parents. So yep. you get this poor this person that decides to try it, and so he goes to a youth football game or a youth basketball game. He knows the least, and yet he gets the most abuse. He gets chased off the field. He gets parents yelling at him. And so we have to reshape the thought about officiating. It's a noble avocation, and you can, I mean, I remember when I started youth football, parents yelled at me, and for some reason I just thought it was cool. Yeah. You know, it didn't bother me right. at all. But we have to change it, because it's just that when you think about that, you don't have enough officials to cover high school football games in almost every community around the country now. It's a major concern.
A couple different websites you can go to, NASO.org, also sayyestoofficiating.com.
And then I'm going to plug my own foundation, because I love my foundation. Here's a Say Yes to Officiating, by the way. I have a foundation called Battlefields to Ballfields. We give scholarships to veterans to become officials in their communities.
Oh, cool.
And we buy their uniforms, pay all their stuff. We have 272 veterans and some actives now, too, that are officiating around the country. And if you are a veteran and you want to think about officiating, if you go to battlefields2ballfields.org, you can sign up and we'll get you cooking in your community, whether it's football, baseball, wrestling, hockey. We've got hockey officials now.
That's awesome. That's just absolutely awesome. And as a former Little League coach who many times talked to the parents about their abusive officials, if I want to abuse them, that's one thing. But you guys are not allowed to abuse those officials. Hey, Mike, you're the best, man. We really appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by.
You got it.
All right. Mike Pereira, join us. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.